Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yes, WTIC, Thursday afternoon, hot and sweaty, 860-522-9842. I want to talk for a little while about qualified immunity. This is an issue that is going to lead to some big fights, I think, as we continue to try to legislate it. I believe it is appropriate that there be big arguments about it because it's a complicated issue. The issue is, and by the way, if you have an opinion on this, call right now, 860-522-9842. If you want to come on the air and talk about it, I'd love to hear your opinion. Should cops be subject to civil lawsuits if they use force inappropriately or whatever? Simple question, 860-522-9842. Also, you can drop your comment onto the rant line, 860-751-4698. We do the rant line at 510. So this is a fascinating conversation because it's about how America should work. It's about whether systems should be liberty-based or not. Government officials, I would love if they're serious about messing around with police officers who have a dangerous job and have a difficult job, if they want to pursue qualified immunity and take it away from cops so that cops can be sued, well then, how about taking it away from governors? So governors can be sued for malfeasance, for misrepresentation, for lying, for leading the state in a wrong direction. Shouldn't somebody be sued for having made the state of Connecticut bankrupt while selling out the people's power to unions so they could do things like make it impossible to fire police? These are the kinds of issues we need to sort through. So let's have a real discussion. Let's not just have legislators. Do you know that they're up at the state capitol doing a special session dealing with this issue and others, like how to rig elections better with free absentee ballots for all? Let's talk about it, 860-522-9842. Good afternoon. Qualified immunity. Oh, it's just there's something that's been very pleasant about the world without Democrats all collecting in Hartford to make bad things happen. But there they go again. Here they are again, so there's stuff to talk about. And they want to restrict the rights of police officers to do their job while protected from lawsuits. And this is a complicated issue. But right now, it carries particular risk, I think, for regular people who want the police there to protect them. There is an attempt by the left, as you know, to undermine police and undermine the ability that police have to keep communities safe. And there could be some issues here being confused. It's one thing to take away the power of police to do bad things, to commit acts like what happened to George Floyd. But I don't happen to think that's a problem with police officers so much as it's a problem with a diseased system that creates protections for police officers in the way police departments are managed, and that qualified immunity isn't the direct attack, and it's one that will fail politically and therefore protect Democrats. They get to fight for something, not actually deliver. 860-522-9842. What is your take on it? Tori, hi, you're on WTIC.
Hey, how's it going, Todd? I just wanted to point out that Jolly Ned and Governor of New York are now having police at the airports when people come in and finding out where they're going. Now, if I'm a person of color, I'm very nervous letting the police know where I'm going, and I believe that's racist. They may use that information to harm me, the racist police officers.
Well, what's the racist part? What's the racist part? It's certainly, it's always creepy to have police officers assigned to tasks like that that seem to be interfering with our normal expectations of liberty and independence, to be left alone to live our lives. But where do you see the racial part of it coming in?
I'm saying if I'm a person of color coming into an airport and I have to tell the authorities where I'm going, they may use that.
I see what you're saying.
To go after me because I'm a person of color.
Yeah. Okay. I get you. That's one that might cause a little fear to happen. And we'll see. There is a crackdown on people coming into the state of Connecticut over COVID. Or at least there is a policy in place. Whether it leads to crackdown or not remains to be seen. George in St. Louis. Hello, George.
Hi, Todd. I was listening to Morning Joe, and there's a real communist organization. They were crying about federal troops going into the chop zone and busting up the chaos and the vigilantes in Portland. They also want to send federal troops into Chicago and straighten that mess out, the crime, you know, the killings that they take place every day. But I think I applaud Donald Trump for this. He's the new Elliot Ness. He's busting up the Democrat Al Capone and busting up that whole criminal organization. He should also go one step further. He should remove school systems where the students can't read or write and know every bit of communism instead. He needs to bring in educated people that will turn that whole educational system around. I applaud this.
So you want a federal takeover of the schools?
Not everywhere, just where, for instance, you know, they've lost control of the, you know, of the local civility, where the education has failed the students. Well, we're talking about complete Democrat failures here.
Yes, but Democrats are the ones who like there to be a big federal government that does these things on its own. And I hate the movement in that direction. Thank you, George, for the call. 860-522-9842. There is a problem with, not with the federal, I don't mind the federal troops going in to help out, like doing things that are under their umbrella, like making sure federal buildings are protected. I don't like the Democrats turning this into an anti-police thing and making it seem like somehow it's a travesty to have the federal marshals there doing what they're doing wherever they're doing it. It seems to me that's a total deflection. We're being manipulated. It's more dishonest politics, more playing the media. But we've got to be careful what we root for the federal government doing. Let's talk more about that in a minute. So I wouldn't wish for the federal government going in and fixing things, because when the federal government goes in and fixes things, it breaks things. It is the big, huge bull that every time it has a little twitch of its tail, it just knocks things halfway across the world. 860-522-9842. Ed in Summers, hi.
Hey, how are you doing? Listen, as far as this immunity with the police department, the cops, if they're found that they didn't obey the law and they did something they weren't supposed to do, they're not represented anyways, illegally. So I think it's a waste of, I don't even know what they're even really talking about as far as...
Well, what they're talking about is taking away the protections that exist. The protections are pretty universal. The court rulings go pretty universally for the cops, and that is that if they're doing their job and they're doing their job as intended for their job to be done, they are given a lot of leeway. And the trouble, it seems to me, tell me what you think of this, Ed. If you take a little sliver of public policy and say, in this particular instance, if police officers use force, they will be subject to lawsuits, that little sliver of opportunity becomes a huge hole that every lawyer in the world will be trying to shove lawsuits into. And then the cops spend all the time defending themselves.
Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying to you is, basically, if they don't follow the policy and the guidelines that they have, they won't be represented, and they could be sued right now, as it is. The law is.
They can be when it's egregious, when it's outrageous. But these things work their way through the courts, is what I'm saying. And when the court rulings come down, the court rulings are generous in terms of offering protections to cops. Now, it would be better if there were a system in place that had some vulnerabilities for police officers who are outrageous. If you watch the behavior of Dennis Chauvin, who was the police officer who killed George Floyd, you watch that video and you say, wow, we need some way to push back against this kind of behavior, don't we? There should be a marketplace of ideas. And this is the problem we have. That's what's interesting. The problem we have is we do not have a marketplace where the people of a city or a state, whether it's Minneapolis or wherever, we need to have a place where they can go to say, we don't like this. This needs to change. And then where changes are made. And the trouble is that because of the rigged system of unions and sold out elected officials who pretend to care about the people they represent in the cities, no change happens. And people in the cities are starting to get frustrated and catching on, and they're putting more pressure on. The issue is whether this is the right way to fix the problem. Do you fix the problem by essentially blaming police and saying we have to make it harder for police to do their jobs? Because that's what removing qualified immunity would be. And I think that's the wrong approach right now. I think the right approach is to go after the union issue and allow there to be a mechanism that the average residents of average cities in America can use to affect political change. Because right now the problem is they haven't been able to affect change. They've been yelling and screaming for years about violent cops. They have not been able to fix the problem. Why? Because unions protect bad cops. Police chiefs don't bother trying to deal with the political process of getting rid of bad cops. Just like in schools, they don't deal with the problem. It's so hard to get rid of bad teachers, they don't bother. That's unions. Let's fix the real problem. 860-522-9842. Frank in Middletown. Hi, Frank.
Just for the record, the people that run the welfare offices and child services and fire departments have the same immunity. So
exactly, yes.
Exactly. So if a fire department shows up too late, or somebody says they showed up too late and their house burned down, they're going to sue the firemen. If a social worker shows up too late to save a child from an abusive family, are they going to sue that social worker or the government?
Well, that's one of the things they're wrestling with. But it's not for firemen or for social workers. They're only looking at it. And it's interesting what you're talking about, Frank. Right now, that whole political world is protected from lawsuits. I would favor the governor being that we should be able to sue the governor for deceiving us deliberately, obviously lying to us about what's going on in the world.
I don't disagree with that thought process, but we voted for that person. We send our police. We send our firemen. We send as a government taxpaying entity to protect us and to put them in the same situation that Stop and Shop has for slipping on a banana is crazy.
Well, I understand how you look at it because that's not how it's been, and that's how I look at it, too. I look at it and say, how could we ever implement such a thing? Because even, as I said a few minutes ago, even if we just provided this tiny little tip of a pin size opportunity to file lawsuits, then all of the attorneys are in court trying to make every case fit into that little hole that that little head of the pin makes. And
I agree. And that's I agree 100%. And this is a lawyer lobbyist project.
Yes.
They
exactly.
want to it, make money because they think.
Well, they would certainly love it. Yeah. Yes. That's you made some really good points, Frank. Thank you for the phone call. 860-522-9842. And let's see who's next here. Eric in Bristol. Hi.
Hi. How you doing, Todd? You're looking at it a little too narrowly. And the problem is qualified immunity. It's not just if the officer does something wrong. It's also if they don't do their job correctly. So
what's the difference?
Well, say you have a burglar at your house or something like that. You call the cops, they come, they check out, they don't find the guy. A little while later, the burglar comes back, breaks in. Now you're saying, well, the cops didn't do their job and catch the guy. So it's not that the cops did wrong.
And what do you think about that case? What should happen in that kind of case?
Well,
because
they,
that's a lot like That's a lot like the hospital leaving the surgical tool inside
right.
of the chest cavity when they're closing up. Why shouldn't they face a lawsuit for that?
Well, no, that's like a doctor missing. You know, you come in, you've got symptoms, and the doctor doesn't realize the full extent of your symptoms.
Okay, I'll take that. So, I think those are pretty similar examples. What's wrong?
You get the job isn't done thoroughly, now you're upset. And now you sue because you didn't get the job done. The job wasn't done properly. So you're really kind of
yes.
open it up.
But that's how the rest of the world works. That's why I'm confused by what you're saying. The way that we get to communicate, we don't want to have a super regulated community, right? We want minimal regulation. The reason we want minimal regulation is so businesses can go and do their thing without government bureaucrats, who are the biggest, most dangerous, destructive force on the planet, getting in the way. So what do? The only thing we have is the ability to file a lawsuit. If you take that away, how do we control at all for malfeasance and bad behavior?
Okay, then try the malfeasance this way. There's a riot going on, and now the police are told by the mayor to step back. And now the people say the store owner gets the store burned down. Well, is it the cops' fault? Because that's who they're going to be suing. So now
that sounds pretty easy. The cops say we were doing what we were ordered by the mayor. The judge says, hey, let's switch this lawsuit over to the mayor. That doesn't seem like a tough one. Eric, thank you for the call. 860-522-9842. Don't take me alive. Here's a little police music. That is one of those situations regarding qualified immunity. Death by cop. Oh, it's a complicated world police live in. What do you think about people being able to file suit? Paul in Cheshire. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Todd. How you doing today?
Rocking and rolling, buddy.
There you go. Hey, quick question. So with Connecticut, the way everything operates here, you know, when they passed where they're not going to have the death penalty anymore, and they kept saying that, oh, don't worry, those guys that killed the family in Cheshire, they will get the death penalty. They're exempt from that. So what's to stop the state after they pass this immunity not to go back on cases in the past and have these officers sued for actions that happened in the past?
Well, I don't know. You know, they're not exactly reliable people, these politicians. They go in the direction the wind blows, so I think your concern is well placed.
Yeah, you know, obviously you can't trust them, and I definitely agree politicians should be held to the same accountability then.
Yeah, they're the ones who we really could straighten out if we could sue them. It would be a beautiful thing. Thank you, Paul, for the call. It would. Steve in Middletown, hi.
Hey, how you doing, Todd? Quick question. So I was reminded today of the legislation of what President Obama had said years ago about creating a civilian police force, and as we could see, other states are doing the same thing with having, like, CPS-type personnel assist on calls. And I sort of see where that's going here in Connecticut. But my bigger question was, would this legislation technically nullify the union contracts that were under negotiation in the past 2 or 3 years?
Well, I've not heard any mention of unions. I think this legislation is designed to deflect from what the real issues are and satisfy.
But you would think built into the contracts that there would be qualified immunity for a period of however many years with the state and the towns that under that provision, if that was stripped away, wouldn't that essentially nullify the contracts that were under negotiation under that?
Well, it wouldn't nullify the contract. It would nullify that clause, which would make it untenable to the unions, which means the Democrats would never do such a thing. So, however they're crafting, you know, we never know the answer to these things, because until they pass something, that you don't know what it's actually going to do and how it's going to operate. So they have a concept and they say, we're passing legislation that has this concept in it. But as of this morning, it wasn't clear that that they even had an agreement amongst the Democrats for how to pursue this thing. So it remains to be seen.
In your opinion, Todd, and I don't know how you feel about this. I know you have a libertarian perspective. Seeing all this going on here in our state is presenting the same issue that we saw back in around 2000. Is would you agree that we here as Connecticut citizens should bring back sheriffs to get around how this state is run and using basically the state police as they report directly to the governor? We really don't have any representation. Would you suggest possibly going back to possibly having an electorate here in the state and bringing back sheriffs? Because I'm feeling more and more every day that I think that's what we need to do.
Well, it's too loaded a question for me to answer that quickly. I've never considered it, but I do think it's good if there's a way to circumvent the current power structure and empower a different one in order to straighten things out. So it's got possibilities. We'll talk more about it. 860-522-9842. Yeah, it's WTIC. Joining us now, as he does every week for a fascinating conversation, Stan McCauley, former candidate for mayor in Hartford, community activist, businessman, all-around good guy. Stan, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd.
We've been talking about qualified immunity, the idea that people who work for the government are protected from liability lawsuits. And liability lawsuits in the rest of the world, where they are allowed, like we talked a little earlier about doctors, that provides a mechanism through which an individual can speak back and say, this isn't right the way this works. We need it to be done differently. And how do we have a pressure point to control what goes on from government if they get to crush people and ruin lives and destroy things and never face repercussions?
I think that, government, in many, many people's standards, incompetent. And so, you're gonna make them immune from any accountability is laughable to me, because, and I hear some of the arguments that people have against police officers being held accountable, and some of the comments that they themselves make, that, to have to make a decision in a split second as to whether or not to use deadly force to protect themselves or the citizens which they have sworn to serve. Therefore, if they had to think about whether or not they'd be sued before they did that, somehow the public would be a danger. I that to me is a laughable argument, because it's a given that the only reason they're pulling their weapon is because it is justified. It is what is necessary to neutralize someone who's a danger to the public.
You're saying that's by definition, that if a police officer is pulling his weapon, then it is justified?
In theory. Now, if we find out that it wasn't justified, then he needs to be held accountable for that action. We would expect
through
no
what
less.
And what would be the mechanism that would hold him accountable?
The ability to be able to hold him accountable in court with a civil suit. You know, I think the workaround for me would be that they have to carry liability insurance, just like doctors do.
Well, the trouble is, though, if you think about doctors, there are doctors who are discouraged about their line of work because of one of the factors, the cost of insurance, that it costs them $100,000 or whatever, $200,000, whatever the size of their business. And that's a big burden and makes them work harder and make less money. And they look differently at their profession. They're less eager to go into it. And that's one of the arguments with policing, that if police officers had this extra burden on them, they might be in court all the time and face astronomical costs for insurance.
Well, they might be in court all the time, but then they might not be in court all the time as well. Doctor has to pay lots of money, but, you know, people are still going into the doctor business. There's still surgeons. There's still people going to medical school. There's still individuals who want to undertake that practice. I think that there will always be people who want to serve their community. It may not be the people who are currently serving. I would look at it as part of the washing out experience. If you can't have enough faith in your capacity and ability to execute faithfully the laws and make sure that others are upholding those laws, to the degree that you have more doubt that you will be hamstrung because of a long string of you doing wrong outweighing the good you do, so that you decide not to go into policing, then I would say that policing is probably not for that individual. Everyone can't do everything, even though people would like to think that everybody should be able to, but they can't. Everyone can't fly an F-16.
No, it's true. And in normal circumstances, my struggle with this is that we've lived in this situation for a long time, and it's hard to imagine going back to a world in which police officers faced lawsuits. But in a normal situation, in a system that wasn't rigged, say, on behalf of politicians, if I'm talking about politicians, I have no trouble saying, let them face liability lawsuits. They behave in ways that demonstrate they need to be curbed, and that there needs to be some mechanism through which regular people who feel that they're getting the shaft from politicians, which I think is true of anybody who's encountering politics in any way, then there should be a way to fix this, to pressure back against that malfeasance of the politician.
Well, in theory, that's what the vote is supposed to do, but we know that the vote is rigged, and half of the rigging goes to the, you know, one of the winners of the weekly prize for election rigging would be the union. So if you've got a powerful union that gives their endorsement to the individual who's running for mayor because they know that the mayor is ultimately going to sign off on the contract, which is the overarching, you know, binding document for the service of the police to the citizens who actually pay them. And, you know, it's almost, you know, I guess it's blasphemous to expect that the citizens should actually expect their elected representatives to be more concerned about what they want than it is the unions who represent the employees of the citizens. I mean, I love state workers, and I love people who dedicate their time to, you know, collecting the trash and teaching our kids and all of these things. However, they work for us. They're not sanctuary. Every other person that endeavors in any other job is held to a totally different standard than any public sector employee. And I think that you're seeing pushback from the constituency that says, look, we're tired of being treated like second-class citizens by the people who actually work for us. You know, they chose to become public service sector employees. And so no one made them become police officers. It's a noteworthy honorable job of people who give their who risk their lives. Firefighters risk their lives every single time they go out on a call, and they are champions. Yet firefighters are never accused of doing bodily harm. They didn't see a guy sitting in there that they didn't like and let him burn to death. And so there's just too many incidents that are being reported of police officers who are acting in a way that is not in accordance to the policies, the best practices, and procedures of the department. And unfortunately, that very, very, very small handful of officers who are tainted because of, a small handful of officers are the ones tainting the majority. But the majority sees what those guys are doing. It's not happening in a vacuum, no more than the clergy, who I'm a member of the clergy, act like they don't want to know who the pedophile clergy people are. I mean, you know, if you sit idly by and allow folks to do wrong, then you're culpable. So all of those good officers who are up there protesting needed to do some protesting back in the locker room and holding their own accountable. Police departments are self-regulating. And then they've got a deal with the elected municipal chief officer. If you talk about one hand washing the other, it's corruption at its highest height.
Stan McCauley, you have done such a beautiful job articulating this so concisely that I want to let you go and hear people's responses to it, because I think it's just so powerful what you've had to say. Do you mind if I cut you a little short? And
I don't mind at all. If it can't be said in 30 seconds, people don't have their thoughts together.
No, I think that was spectacular. Stan McCauley, thank you so much, sir. Stan ran for mayor the last election cycle. He is of Hartford. He's a fascinating guy, and it's fun to have him here. All right, let's take some calls. Bill in Westbrook. We're going in order here. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, let me just quickly talk about something Dan said. I'm really amazed that he's comparing a fireman's job to a policeman's job. I would just say this. Firemen only go to places that they're called to go to. They want them there. People want them. Policemen, just the opposite. They go places that they're not wanted. The people that are there don't want them to come. That's just one thing. But what I really called about, and you touched on it with your call to him, is nobody's taken this immunity issue one step further, and that's going to be insurance. If we're going to treat the police like we treat doctors, then the police are going to want insurance, and either the towns are going to have to provide it or the police individual policemen will have to get it, which means it's going to be more expensive, which means they're going to want a higher pay, which means guess who's going to pay for this in the end?
Mm-hmm.
The honest, law-abiding taxpayers, because the thugs aren't, they don't pay taxes, so they're not going to pay. But it's the honest, law-abiding taxpayers are going to pay to cover the suits that are going to be presented by the thugs. It's just craziness.
Ask you one question. So I totally hear the points you're making, but would you rather, if when you go to the doctor wasn't vulnerable to you having the ability to sue him if he messes up and damages you, say, permanently debilitates you because he makes a mistake? Or do you prefer to have a system where you can go back and sue so that the people in the future will be more careful and not make the same mistake?
Well, I would say yes, but that's also, you've got to qualify that I'm not really suing the doctor. I'm going to be suing his insurance policy. So the doctor's going to continue to work, and so that I'm not hurting the doctor other than the fact.
Well, you are. You're embarrassing him. You are causing problems for him politically in his organization. You're potentially driving up the cost of his insurance. He might lose his accreditation. There's all kinds of other repercussions. So you can't say just because he pays for the insurance policy that he's no longer suffering any repercussions. I don't buy that. And I think the fact that you're confessing that it's good to have that talkback loop opens the possibility to the idea that we all should have that with every business, that there should be a feedback loop. And really what we're seeing, thank you, Bill, for the call. Really what we're seeing in the cities now with the pushback against police is that they don't feel there's a mechanism that they can use, a lever they can pull to express their frustration. And that's problematic. 860-522-9842, Billy in Litchfield. Hello, Billy.
Todd, nice talking to you. You're doing a great show. Your last
Thank you, sir.
Guest, you praised him for what a great soliloquy he gave, and he said corruption at its highest height. I can't imagine where this guy got any of his information. I was a police officer for 30 years. I just retired last year. And what I've seen is a culmination of years of the left just decriminalizing everything in society. It's just if it's not a crime, then that means no one's doing anything bad. They're changing juvenile crimes where now you have all these juvenile gangs, let's say, going out and stealing all these cars, and there's nothing the police can do about it. And they go out night after night after night into the suburbs, and all these cars.
Billy, did you see the thing on? Did you see the thing on I-91 by New Haven over the weekend with the kids riding? There were like a couple hundred kids riding bicycles on the highway. You feel like the world's coming apart.
Wait till they actually defund the police, and who are these people going to call? You know, I've worked with the overwhelming majority of police officers I work for took the job because they wanted to do something for their community. Most of them are well-educated people that could do a lot of other things, and they just want a job that they feel like they're doing something important and giving back. And then now the Democrats are trying to make part of this package that you can't give consent to have your own car searched. They think people are so stupid that they don't know if they want to give consent or not. Consent is something you either give it or don't. And it's just everything they're doing. Qualified immunity, give me a break. It's a very difficult job that mistakes happen, and it's reviewed so much. This corruption is high as height.
Well, wait a sec, Billy. There is a lot of review, but there are protections in place so that ultimately after those reviews, even police officers who've been fired are rehired with back pay most of the time or some kind of remedy like that. It's after the multiple steps available to them, they don't often face punishment.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.